Welcome to the Lawyers Weekly Show for an in-depth look at the issues facing the legal profession.
Well, hello and welcome to this special episode of the Lawyers Weekly Show brought to you by Thomson Reuters. I'm your host, Managing Editor Alex Vikovich. Over the past 12 months, the topic of LGBTI rights has moved squarely or more squarely to the centre of mainstream Australian discourse as the people of this country had their say in a national postal vote survey which ultimately saw gay and lesbian Australians granted the right to marry for the first time. But despite this mainstream focus, in the context of professional services and business culture, the conversation is arguably very much still in its infancy. And in this podcast, we're going to look deeper at this important topic of LGBTI rights and advocacy as it pertains to the legal profession. And to do that, we're honoured to have an eminent Australian with us, a lawyer who has spent his life pursuing justice, not just for LGBTI people, but for minority groups and the broader Australian community. Honourable Michael Kirby, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand you've been in London delivering some lectures, and so we're pleased to have you here.
Oh, my life is so hard, so hard.
I hope the jet lag not too severe.
No, it's not the jet lag, but I was there when the beast from the east was there. It was terribly cold. Makes you realise how lucky we are out here in Australia with our weather, not always with everything else.
Hear, hear. And all in aid of a good cause, no doubt.
Yes, oh yes, there was a session on North Korea, there was a session on access to healthcare and a session on LGBT rights.
Wonderful. Well, I don't think we'll have time to unpack all of that in this episode, but certainly we'll get you back again in the future. And also joining us this episode are our partners from Thomson Reuters. Firstly, Shelley Mulhern, Sales Manager at Thomson Reuters Legal Australia. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you.
And also Tim Pollard, General Manager of the Australian Legal Portfolio at Thomson Reuters. Welcome to you as well, Tim.
Thanks, Alex.
And thanks for both of you for being here, but also for your support of the Lawyers Weekly Show, and more importantly, for putting this topic on the agenda, and we at Lawyers Weekly are very proud to help you do so. And I'd like to start there, if I may, because as someone who has covered business news and corporate culture for some time, I know very much that companies have a choice when it comes to engaging in public discourse and when it comes to their public messaging. And this topic of LGBTI rights and social justice more broadly obviously goes well beyond the benefits and features of your specific services and products, which of course all of our readers should go and check out. But Shelley, can you take us through why this is an issue that Thomson Reuters cares about and the Changemakers program that you have more broadly?
Sure. So the Changemakers program is a global initiative with Thomson Reuters. The aim is to bring together our key business leaders to make commitments and take action to improve diversity and inclusion across our organisations. In relation to our Pride at Work group, ANZ, this is something that we started up about 2.5-3 years ago now. And we started off with a very small group of just 6 people, really, and it's grown to about 110 members now. It's been something that we've been very proud of, and our Pacific and Australia and New Zealand leaders have embraced and supported us on.
And is that multi-industry? What sort of partners are involved in that program?
So most of our key customers, law firms, the big tax and accounting banks, most corporate customers, government organisations, the universities all partner with us on these sorts of initiatives.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I know you're also involved in the Stonewall LGBTI Role Model Leadership Program. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that experience was like?
Yeah, that was amazing, actually. So Thomson Reuters partnered with Barclays Bank in London and brought together about 18 or 20 people from Barclays and from Thomson Reuters together for a 2.5-day LGBTI role model leadership program. And it was really about exploring our roles, I suppose, as leaders, as visible LGBT leaders in our organisations, and what we wanted to do with that and how we wanted to move forward as individuals. It was a great experience.
Yeah, wonderful. And certainly something that we'll look into and cover in the future. Tim, I know you were involved in the Pride at Work initiative as well. What has that meant for you? Tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
It's been incredibly important for me to be involved with this initiative at Thomson Reuters. I'm a member of an extended rainbow family. I experienced homophobia as a young child at school, in my early workplaces, etc. So it's incredibly important for me as a member of the LGBTI community to work at Thomson Reuters, a place that prioritises, promotes, and really strives for diversity and inclusion in the workplace. I'm also a product manager at Thomson Reuters, and our customers are coming to us with product needs around this particular area as well. So we're doing two things. We want to promote this, but also want to make sure our products are meeting the needs of customers who are looking at LGBTI initiatives themselves.
Absolutely, and thank you for being so open with your own experience. That topic of discrimination is certainly something we're going to boil down into over this discussion. Michael Kirby, when you hear about these sorts of initiatives that are emerging, not from NGOs or from political organisations, but from large global corporates that are very well known, like Thomson Reuters, what's your response to this sort of activity?
Well, my response is, what a difference a day makes. How different the world is from when I was growing up and when I also felt very alone. I can't say I felt a lot of homophobia, because I was always in sort of positions where really it just wasn't discussed and it was kept all very silent. But I did feel myself the subject of the deal that was done in society. And the deal was, do not mention it. Do not ever mention this issue. You keep quiet and be ashamed of yourself, and we will keep quiet and leave you alone. And that was the deal. Well, now that's over, and people everywhere are going to stand up. And Thomson Reuters have a special reason for that, because they're dealing, at least in the product area that I'm involved in the laws of Australia, they're dealing with the idea of law and justice. And justice means justice to everybody equally, and it means justice to LGBTIQ people. And so it's a natural fit, actually. It's harder for an abattoir or some other organisation to get involved immediately. They will come later, but a company which is involved in communications globally and is involved in law and justice here in Australia and elsewhere, it's a natural thing they should be concerned about LGBTIQ rights.
Absolutely, and it's a very interesting point you make there about the cone of silence that perhaps has been expected in the past in the business culture. But of course, to play devil's advocate for a moment, there may be others listening, members of the profession, who still feel that way, that this is not an appropriate business topic, that it's a personal subject. And certainly we saw some organisations during the postal survey debate, such as the Big Four banks, come under some scrutiny from some of their shareholders and stakeholders and so on. To Shelley and Tim, what would you say to other organisations out there that are having this discussion internally and are keen to play some sort of role?
I would definitely say that diversity and inclusion is really good for business. It's good for employee engagement. A recent survey found that there was an 11% staff retention dividend when there were diversity and inclusion policies and groups in place within an employer. It's also good from a team productivity and morale, a possible increase of 30% for workers in employment places where there is diversity and inclusion and pride at work, etc. So there are real business benefits there for doing that. It's also hard to attract good talent. I'm a people manager, Shelley is as well. We try very hard to find and retain good talent. And the last thing you want to do is block out people from your organisation. You want to be as diverse as possible and attract creative people, innovative people into your organisation. And I think the Thomson Reuters example has been followed by other organisations, law firms, etc., government departments, corporates, police forces, etc. It's a really good way of managing your people and managing your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And just sort of from a personal experience, being able to come to work and be my authentic self, to talk about, you know, what I have done on the weekend, about my partner, about, you know, my social life. It's just, you're able to feel completely comfortable at work, and you're going to continue coming to that place, you know, if you feel that way and you feel comfortable there.
Absolutely. And I suppose that's what inclusion is really
that's
all
right.
about at its heart. I think those business benefits you just outlined are very important, particularly for our listeners who are in smaller and boutique groups. The research that we did with Thomson Reuters at the end of last year indicated that a not insignificant number of boutiques have not yet come to the party on this issue. They don't believe that inclusion, more broadly social inclusion, is particularly important. What are some of the ways, Michael Kirby, that you think we can reach out to members of the profession or small business more generally on this topic?
Well, in the first place, you shouldn't really have to justify this, because in the sense that there is a cohort of people in the population, always has been, always will be, who are LGBTIQ, and you shouldn't have to say, oh, well, there's a big dividend and you'll make lots more money and it's good for the shareholders. This is the right thing to do. And it takes leadership in companies, big and small, and it takes leadership in a profession. Now, the law, as I say, is a special profession. It can't get away. It's concerned with big moral questions, and the moral question of not treating one group in the community as pariahs and abominations and all the old things that we were taught in the past, I think that's reason enough. As to the smaller firms, well, it is harder in a sense to get it kicked off, because in a big firm there's going to be somebody around who is themselves gay or has a child or has an uncle or somebody, and therefore there will be enough people to give the takeoff. But in a smaller firm, it will sometimes require confronting embarrassing silences and the fact that people know about one of their colleagues, but they don't want to raise it, and the person won't raise it because they're part of the deal. That's part of the contract they make. Don't ask, don't tell, and you'll be left alone. But that really has to finish, because it's dishonest, it's not scientific, it's a remnant of hobgoblins from the medieval times, and we've just got to get with it and get real. And I think people are increasingly realising this, and this is even going to percolate down to medium-sized law firms, because they're just part of our society, and they're picking up the messages too. It's good for business, but it's also good for being truthful, honest, and modern.
Well, I think that's an incredibly articulate answer, and certainly that moral imperative does come through. Shelley, for those of your clients or for those listening that are in that situation that Michael Kirby just outlined, where perhaps they're not against this topic at all, but they have fewer HR resources, they don't have the processes and procedures in place, any thoughts on how they can adopt programs that are more inclusive?
I think so. I think, look, there are a lot of resources out there too, particularly through an organisation like Pride and Diversity. There are resources online where they can implement welcoming strategies, can set up potentially mentoring programs or support networks. Even just awareness sessions can mean a lot, I think. We have run a few ourselves at Thomson Reuters, and it really helps everybody just understand perhaps what an LGBTI person experiences in the workplace. Also, maybe the correct terminology to use, and even just not being afraid to speak to an LGBTI person about it. Just say, you know, ask them about their family members, about their partners and what they did on the weekend. Don't be afraid to bring it up and discuss it.
Absolutely. And I think that's taken us really nicely to sort of a corollary topic of health and well-being, which I think is really important. And you touched on it earlier, Tim. You know, it's a topic that we've been quite passionate about. We've launched a title, Wellness Daily, which specifically looks at health and well-being for business. I know it's something that Thomson Reuters is also passionate about. Do you think there are wellness risks that the LGBTI community operating within the legal profession or within business specifically face? Are they heightened risks?
I think there are definitely some risks around the volume of work that needs to be undertaken, but also I guess what people bring with them from their past and their history as well into the workplace. Based on research from during the referendum, if we call it plebiscite last year, there was a higher level of stress recognised among the LGBTI community at that point. And I think that resonated around the legal community as well. I think the wonderful thing is that from a legal perspective, access to resources, access to products around it, and access to networks as well. So I think there's definitely an opportunity for leadership from all of the legal representative organisations, but also for organisations like Thomson Reuters as well, to step in and make themselves known and to promote and really talk about their initiatives and how they're
One of the things that I've done with Pride and Diversity, because I've been a patron of Pride and Diversity since the beginning, is to emphasise that it's not just a matter of having a great big nosh up on a day in a big, wonderful hotel in Sydney or Melbourne for the big end of town. I mean, that's good and I'm in favour of it, and it's done with style. But it's the little service station in Wilcannia, or the small local library in Cootamundra, or the small organisations that you've got to reach out to. And let it be said, you've got to reach out within the LGBT community to give emphasis and recognition to trans people. They are often ignored in this debate. And how many employees who are trans do we know? And do we understand their story? And are we empathetic? And are gay people empathetic to that? So everyone can learn, but the journey has begun. And one of the bad things about the postal survey was it made a lot of young people realise that there were about, as it turned out, about 40% of our fellow citizens who were against them and who denigrated them and disrespected them, and that these were churches and so on who they looked to for moral leadership. Well, we've got to really make more progress. People said, what a wonderful outcome. And in one sense, it was a silver lining to a very bad process. But it still is 40%, and that isn't so wonderful. And therefore, we've all got to work at trying to make Australia a better and more inclusive and a more just and a kinder place. And I think the journey's begun. And I congratulate Thomson Reuters for being a leader in this. It's just terrific, but it's natural because they are a justice and law operation, at least as part of their work, and that is inherent in equality for everyone.
I think that's a salient point. And certainly many of those listening are not just in major cities or have clients just in major cities. This really is a topic that we're hoping through this discussion and others ongoing really does have that broader reach across the community. Shelley, when you hear Michael Kirby's comments there on the postal survey, do you have any views on that, the impact, whether it was ultimately a positive thing for the LGBTI community and for Australia?
I think I actually have to agree with Michael. I was sort of struck by the fact that there were 40% who voted against it. And for me personally, it was a little bit bitter, to be honest. It was a relief when it happened, but I also felt quite bitter about the process. I have a partner and twin stepchildren, and they had to go through that whole process of hearing really negative things said about gay people and not understanding the fact that me and their mother couldn't get married and even asking the question that, well, if you did get married, would you go to jail? Yeah, it was quite impactful, the whole process. You know, look, it's great moving forward, it's fantastic, but it was very slow to come, almost a little embarrassing, to be honest.
It's one reason why my partner, Jan, and I are still considering whether after 49 years and 2 weeks or whether we will get married. Jan says, don't let's rush things, but it's a situation where, in a way, obstacles were put in our way that had never been really put in the way of progress in Australia, and people were saying nasty things even today, and unscientific things about us. There'll be people out there who'll be listening to this podcast or watching, listening to the reports of it, and saying they'll never be happy, those gays. They're always moaning and groaning. Well, we won't be happy until there is true equality and equality in our hearts and minds. I went yesterday to Toowoomba in Queensland. That was one of two electorates in the Commonwealth of Australia that had a majority no vote. And I said, this is a beautiful town. It has beautiful trees and lovely old buildings and wonderful institutions. But beauty in your heart and kindness to fellow citizens is, in a sense, the true beauty we should be seeking as a human family to attain. But it needs leadership, and that's where enterprises like Thomson Reuters in pushing this subject, making, for example, in the laws of Australia, the encyclopedia of the law, a new subtitle on LGBT rights in the law, and continuing the process of giving information about this issue to lawyers and to experts so that, that we can build up the knowledge of how the law can be a guardian and a protector and not an oppressor, which it certainly was when I was growing up. I was really made to feel I was second class, and I have a sense of unhappiness about that happened in my country, because you like to think of your country as a country of justice and fairness.
Absolutely. And you spoke earlier, Michael, about the progress, more progress needs to be made. Are there any specific things on the legislative front that you would like to see?
Well, we're going to have this big debate about how people who make cakes for other citizens can say, no, we're not going to make a cake if you're a gay person, because that's offensive to my religious freedom. I think there is a principle in reconciling fundamental human rights, and the right to exercise your religion is a fundamental human right, but there's a principle that one human right has to bend if with the swinging of your arm. You can swing your arm until you hit me on the nose. And therefore, when you hit a person on the nose with your religious freedom, that's where your religious freedom has finished. And you have to adapt, just as gay people have to adapt to a society which is overwhelmingly non-gay, straight. And we will ultimately get to that, but I fear we're going to have some rather nasty debates in the future about this, and there'll be people who want to refight the issue of the postal survey and wind back the equality of LGBT people. Well, it's not going to happen, and there'll be a lot of people out there, straight and gay. Gay people have families, most of whom are straight, and the people now are going to stand up against that. And Thomson Reuters is a leading corporation, and there are lots of banks and the big legal firms. There are lots of others. We've got to reach out to that small service station and the local enterprise and the 7-Eleven organisations, and we've got to reach out to people of different races and religions with maybe more conservative approaches that they've brought with them from foreign lands, and we've got to make sure that this country is a country of justice for all, equal justice under law for all, no exceptions.
The good news is that in the research that we conducted at the end of last year, this is a majority did say that they believed, you know, social inclusion, and particularly on the issue of LGBTI rights, is very important. When you hear that, Shelley, do you think we've seen minority rights become a majority issue?
I think that it's become a mainstream issue. I'm not sure if it's a majority issue or not. The results of the survey were very interesting. Certainly, I think what was more interesting to me was the perspective of the non-LGBTI people versus the perspective of the LGBTI people who participated in the survey, and their perspectives on whether their organisations were doing enough in terms of LGBT inclusion initiatives within their organisations and the various things that they were doing.
And I think it's a generational thing too. I think younger people, they scratch their heads and they wonder what the hell this is all about. But and when I spoke to the young people, I spoke to the legal studies students in Toowoomba yesterday, and there was a big audience, and they met, ironically enough, in St Peter's Anglican Church up there, and they asked wonderful questions, and they were right in tune with the mood of the times. But we've got to respect the fact that there are older folks like me who don't have a reason to change and don't know many gay people. They think they don't know many gay people, but people are coming out of the woodwork now, and this is going to make people realise gay people are just other people. It's not the whole of their life. It may not even be the most important thing in their life. It's just one aspect, and they've got to accommodate to the fact that that's part of the citizenry of this country.
Tim, Michael spoke there about students and about, you know, emerging leaders and people in that younger cohort. If you were to give some advice to a law student or an emerging leader in the profession who might be listening and who may be a member of the LGBTI community or in some ways experiencing distress or discrimination, what would you say to them?
I would suggest that they definitely reach out and find help from online, from others in the community. I think it's important to have role models and mentors to support you. That can really help through your career, but also through your personal journey through your life as well. I think it's there are a lot of issues now, and we're getting to the core of identity, gender identity, and how you express your gender as well. And Michael spoke a little bit about how talking about trans people, and that is something now where we need to talk more about, and that's something we can do more about in terms of raising awareness. So I think now we're through the same-sex discussion for the moment, but now turning and talking a little bit more about gender transitioning, what that means in the workplace as well, and also sharing information and awareness around that. So I think that's kind of the next frontier, if you like, in terms of what we can do more about and what we can talk more about.
Absolutely. And the next podcast has to have a trans person on it.
Okay, we'll do what we can.
Yes, do what you can. It's not all that hard.
Absolutely. Shelley, same question. What would you say to an emerging leader on this issue?
Yeah, I think it is important to have networks and mentors, as Tim said. I guess just to have the courage too to get up there and be a leader and be visible and out, and you know, take it upon yourself to be that role model to other young people. There's not enough of us out there that are visible and being role models. And I think for me growing up, it would have been great to able to identify with somebody, another gay woman who was, you know, in a leadership role or a senior role. So just having the courage to get out there and do it, believe in themselves.
Yep. Absolutely. And no doubt one of those, visible leaders has been Michael Kirby. If I could finish with you, sir, same question. What would you say to a young emerging leader? And also, do you think that legal professionals, members of this profession, are uniquely well placed to be advocates and to make a meaningful difference to the issue?
I would say things are getting better. Things are definitely getting better. They've got better in my lifetime, but they've got better in part because of leadership from LGBTIQ people themselves, but also from straight friends. And nothing ever was achieved without the support of a lot of straight people, because there are more straight people than there are gay people. And therefore, we need to carry them with us. When I gave my talk yesterday to these young people, including some from religious colleges, it was interesting to me. You get more leadership from women on this issue than you do from young men. Young men seem to still have some demons in their minds, but when they were getting up to go, so many of them from a religious college in Toowoomba came up to me, one by one, the young men, and shook my hand with a firm country Australian handshake. And who amongst them? You don't know if there was anybody there who was themselves gay. When I was growing up, you didn't have anybody who talked about it. But now people are talking about it. Maybe some people think there's too much talking about it, but if we talk enough, ultimately we'll get beyond this and things will get even better. And I believe we're on the right path.
Wonderful. And we don't believe that there's been too much talking about it. It's certainly something that we're going to continue to discuss with all of your help. And all three of you are, needless to say, able advocates for your cause and for justice. And I thank all of you for being here today. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.